Today on Real Radio.
We think that we have just made it in. Oh man, this Christian truth is so awesome. I'm going to heaven. I know the Holy Spirit's in me. I'm in there. And yet we tiptoe around the community afraid that somebody might find out because we don't want to hurt their feelings. And we are so doggone nice to people that we'll pat them on the back and do anything but upset them. And then we stand at their funeral and we feel absolutely horrible because they've died not knowing Jesus. And we've patted the back of somebody that we love dearly just right into hell because we never said anything.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We'll be looking at the last 8 verses of chapter 14, where Paul and Barnabas continue to spread the word about the risen Messiah. Now the text seems to pick up the pace, telling us of quite the number of cities they traveled through. It's a great example of gospel zeal, as it were. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called The Gospel Minister.
A gospel minister is anyone in this room this morning who can say, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but you would be able to respond in the affirmative. If I were to ask you this morning, are you a Christian? Do you have the Holy Spirit living in you? You would be able to raise your hand by and declare, you know, yes, I do. I am a Christian. Yes, I have the Holy Spirit in me. Then according to the Bible, you are a gospel minister. And what does gospel mean? Anyway, the word gospel, you mention it these days and people draw their curtains, shut the door, run away. A lot of them rightfully so because of false and misrepresentations of what the gospel really is. But the word gospel is the word that means good news. It's the evangel, the good news of the Bible. Jesus said, and this gospel in your lap shall be preached to all the world, and then the end will come. And so we're talking about the Bible and the good news that Jesus has given us through his death and through his resurrection there upon the cross in that empty tomb that we just celebrated last week. But we're going to pick up in our study right now in Acts 14, verse 21, where we left off last time. And we're going to take a close look at what does it mean to be a gospel minister. There it says, verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, quote, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they believed. And after they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attila, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. And when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. This is a great end of the story here, so to speak. And really, in a lot of respects, it's just the beginning. In Acts 14, verse 28, we will see the consummation, the end of Paul's first missionary journey. In fact, if you were to look into the back of your Bible, there are maps back there that show you various journeys of the apostles, and this would be the one noted in your scriptures on Paul's first missionary journey. But I want to draw your attention to something, actually a few things this morning, but I don't want you to feel removed from this. Jeff just got done talking about you being involved in getting these care packages to Russia and to the Russian prisons. And you might think, well, that's great, and I'm going to do that, and we should do that. We ought to do that. But I want you to realize this morning, I don't know where you're coming from for a lot of you, but you, if you are a Christian this morning, you cannot be a spectator Christian. Do you know what I mean by that? You might be thinking, well, you know, my neighbor is sick. I'm going to call the church and have the pastors come over and pray for my neighbor because they're sick. No, you shouldn't do that. God has let you know that your neighbor is sick, so you'll get on over there and pray for your neighbor. You don't call up somebody else to do it. You don't tell somebody about Jesus Christ and you discern or you detect that they're about ready to come to faith in Jesus, and you say, now, can you hold it a minute? Let me call the church and get somebody to lead you through the sinner's prayer. No, you do that. And let me tell you something up front right now. You know, you see a lot of people who are in full-time ministry and they're just buzzing all around the place. They got a smile on their face and they're happy as a lark. Well, you want to know why? A lot of us are batting cleanup. Many of you have done so much work in your community or at your job or whatever, and then we get to meet with that guy or that gal that you've been working with and lead them to faith. All we simply do is say, well, you know, Betty or John shared with you, do you understand the gospel? Can you tell it to me? And they'll recite it, and you'll say, well, great, you understand it then, do you? Yeah, I do. Well, do you want to accept Jesus? Yes, I do. And that very thing that you want to hear in your life, we so often pawn off on somebody else to do. When you and I ought to be the ones who lead people in that prayer and get them into the family of God. That is the work of a missionary. You can go down the hallway this morning and you can see Christy. She's in Russia. You can see April there. She's in St. Petersburg, Russia. You can see the couples, and they're in Russia. You can see Al and Cecil, and they're in China. And you go, man, praise the Lord that those people are crazy enough to go out into the other part of the world like that. And you better praise the Lord for them. But you know what? Listen, don't this morning set yourself on autopilot and catch up on some Z's in service this morning thinking that you are somehow removed from this. You are a missionary if you're a Christian. In fact, Jesus told us in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said to his disciples, go out into all the world and preach to every creature. That's not an option, by the way. It's one of the commands of the Lord. And so I praise the Lord that this is a very missions-minded ministry here. But to be missions-minded, I think, is to have the heart of Jesus, because Jesus desires that this gospel be preached to all mankind. And so we want to do that. So first thing I want you to do if you're taking notes is jot down in verse 21 right here that the gospel minister proclaims the truth of God, proclaims the truth. Follow along with me in verse 21. It says there, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, they made many disciples, and they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And this is an interesting thing because, first of all, Paul is preaching, as you see in verse 20, last time together, he's in Derbe. This is the end of the road, by the way. They've come all the way up in that part. If you're looking on your map today, it's southern Turkey. And they've come down now. They're heading back southerly towards Jerusalem, but yet they're hundreds of miles away. But they're in Derbe, and for some reason, it's now time to stop pioneering works and to turn back and go and see the churches that had been established. But all along the way, Paul's been preaching. He's been proclaiming. And if you and I are Christians this morning, we are to be proclaimers of the truth. And I know that makes us uncomfortable because we might say, but Jack, this is not for me because I'm really shy. And surely the Lord wouldn't have me break out of my comfort zone. Well, you know what? He sure would. Because you know what? You and I are kind of a bore to hang around. We need our lives changed. It's so awesome to come to Christianity, come to faith in Jesus. And you know how when we first came, we kind of tiptoed around? Go back to work or your friends, and did we announce that we were Christians? Are you kidding? Probably a year went by before they found out, and then somebody said, oh, hey, Jack, is that a Bible on your car? And the Lord's saying, tell him about it. And you go, you know what? That's my sister's Bible. And just when you do that, your nose begins to grow, you know, and the Lord said, tell them. And the Lord wants us to tell people. We think that we have just made it in. Oh, man, this Christian truth is so awesome. I'm going to heaven. I know the Holy Spirit's in me. I'm in there. And yet we tiptoe around the community afraid that somebody might find out because we don't want to hurt their feelings. And we are so doggone nice to people that we'll pat them on the back and do anything but upset them. And then we stand at their funeral and we feel absolutely horrible because they've died not knowing Jesus. And we've patted the back of somebody that we love dearly just right into hell because we never said anything. Jesus said that I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. And the Bible also says that if we are in this world without the knowledge of God internally, you can have it in your head, but it's got to be in your heart, that we are dead in our sins. We look very much alive, but the Bible says we are spiritually dead. So Paul has been preaching, and we're going to look at a few things. Number one, look what it says there in verse 21, that he preached. Preaching is what you do to non-saved people, non-Christians. You preach to them. The word in the Greek means to proclaim or to evangelize. Billy Graham's an evangelist. Why? He proclaims a salvation message of Jesus Christ. Chuck Smith's a teacher, pastor. Why? Because he does not spend time preaching, he spends time teaching. And that is both of those are viable ministries of the Holy Spirit. But Paul is preaching, and him being an apostle, I think he had every gift that you look listed in the Bible. But Paul is evangelizing people. By the way, this word preach, evangelize, is used 55 times in the New Testament as a verb and 72 times in another context in the Greek language, but 55 times as a verb. And I don't want to fall off the stage or be too distracting this morning, but the word literally means to preach while you're moving, to be on the go, to be a Christian and be on the move, and while you're going, you're preaching the gospel. We saw this earlier in our study in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. In Acts 8, verse 4, it says there that when persecution began to break out against the church, it says that they were all scattered throughout all the regions except the apostles, by the way. Everybody was scattered. That means you and I would have been scattered except the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem. And while they were being scattered, it says that they preached the gospel everywhere. Man, that means that while they're running away from people throwing stones and rocks, they're going, amen, accept Jesus Christ as Lord of glory, died on the cross, rose again from the dead the third day, praise the Lord. And they're running, man, as rocks are going, whoosh, whoosh. And you think, man, I can't share. Man, these people shared with rocks flying by. You know, they'd be preaching the message and somebody would yell out, incoming! And they would pack up and head out and get going. The word means to evangelize while we're going. Jesus said, go ye, therefore, into all the world. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40, this is an interesting verse, where it says there the Jewish hierarchy brought the apostles together for preaching the gospel, and they beat them very severely, and then turned them loose, saying to them, don't you ever preach, that's the word, evangelize, again in the name of Jesus. Well, that was a mistake. These guys, it says they ran away rejoicing that they were found worthy as Christians to be beaten. Man, what's happened? Where are we today? Man, I want a drive-thru. I want a Kush. Give me a Lazy Boy. We want it easy. We saw a thing on TV not too long ago about I want Christianity light. We've got Bud Light. We've got now Taco Bell. Taco Light. We've got this light and that light. Make it easy. And Jesus says, you know what? It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard, and this world wants us to just go to sleep in its arms, and Jesus says, man, stand up and say something. Jesus warned us in Scripture. He says, hey, before they ever hated you, they hated me first, and because I'm in you, they're going to hate you all the more. The world can't stand us. Jesus also warned us that if the world is very friendly with us, then we must not be a friend of God. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we go around blowing up federal courthouses and buildings and being lunatic fanatics? No. But it means when the community is doing something that's antichrist, that you stand up. In doing so, we are being disciples and followers of Christ, but we are to preach the gospel. As good as it is to take the boxes to Russia, and we advise that you do that, that's not the goal of missionaries. As much as wonderful it is to build a hospital in some foreign country, by the way, Christianity is the only faith in the world that does that. That's a great thing to do, but it's not the reason why we go to foreign countries. It happens to be a byproduct. We should feed the homeless and the hungry, but it's not the primary reason why we do it. We feed them, but our goal is and our motivation is to give them the gospel. It is the Bible, it is the Word of God that will give them eternal life. Not religion, but a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We are to proclaim the good news. And then look at the second thing that we are to do as Paul gives us an example. It says in verse 21 that they made many disciples. And this is a fun word. In the Greek language, the word means to manufacture or to construct a disciple. Isn't that fun? In my Looney Tune mind, I'm thinking of like Legos. I mean, you snap this guy together. You put a new mouth on him. You put a new head on him. You put some arms. You put some feet on him. All of a sudden, this guy is able to move. You manufacture disciples. People come to faith at the Harvest Crusades, or we'll see them come forward at a Billy Graham Crusade. Oh, and that's great, but that's only one part of it. Jesus said, and get a load of this, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the Gospels and make disciples of all nations. If we preach, we are to bring them in and make them disciples. That is a follower of Christ. And maybe this morning you consider yourself a believer. Maybe you would say, maybe on a Gallup poll today, you would say, yeah, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, I want to ask you this. Are you a disciple? Are you following him? You may believe in him, but you're not following him. Paul says, listen, we are to preach, and then we are to make disciples. The word in the Greek means to manufacture, to become a pupil, to teach, or to enroll in a school. And I love this final meaning of the word in the Greek is to reproduce. There's a book written called The Reproducers. And who's it talking about? It's talking about us, you and I. In my backyard, we have bird feeders and bird baths, and we love all that stuff, and we watch them all the time. And the birds are doing birds and the bees kind of things out in the backyard. And, you know, my little one goes, what are they doing? What's that bird doing? What's that bird doing to that other bird? Go ask your mom. You know, the natural world says within itself genetically, God has written it in, hey, man, it's time for life. It's time to propagate. It's time to replenish. It's time to refurbish. Spiritually speaking, man, if you and I are Christians this morning, we are to be preaching, and when someone comes to faith, we are to make disciples out of them. Sheep produce rabbits? No, sheep. Sheep produce sheep. And that's who we are. That's what we're to do. For the Christians to always be springtime in our hearts, to give the gospel, what does it say, in season and out of season, be ready always. It should be springtime in our hearts to share all the time, is what he's trying to teach us right here. But listen to this. This is kind of shocking for some. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, 19. And the question is, how do we make disciples? How do we do it? You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes there are places that I've seen where you've got to go through a 50-week course to be a disciple. You've got to go through a 25-week course just to become a member of the church. And then you find out halfway into the course that the Pope would be rejected if he even applied. I mean, like, who can make it? Well, I got news for you. It's a lot easier to get into Jesus' church than a lot of other churches. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19, he said, go therefore and make, that is reproduce, disciples of all nations. Number one, here it is. How do you make a disciple? You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You baptize them. Baptism cannot save you. If you were a thief hanging on a cross today, and Jesus were next to you, and you were to say to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Jesus looked over at that thief on the cross and said, hey, today you'll be with me in paradise. That man went to heaven, but he was never baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, just like circumcision did not save the Old Testament believer. It's an outward symbol of an inward commitment that you've made, but Jesus said, I want you to be baptized. So if you're a Christian this morning, should you be baptized? The answer is absolutely yes. In fact, if you're not baptized, then I want to ask you, what are you doing? And theologically, listen, this is going to ruffle some feathers. Don't call me up about it. Search and study it yourself. It can be argued theologically that if you're not baptized, then you're not a disciple. You can be a believer and you can be going to heaven, but you're not following Him. You're not walking in obedience to Him. You should be baptized if you're a Christian. And someone asked me even this week, I was baptized into a cult. Should I be baptized again? The answer is absolutely yes. You were baptized into a falsehood. Now you should be baptized into the truth. And by the way, that cult made sure you were baptized, didn't they? Because it's an outward display of your fellowship and commitment to what all of it stands for. And so Jesus says, you be baptized. It doesn't save you, but it's your first step in obedience to following Jesus Christ. The next thing that he says there in verse 21 is that they are to be taught. We are to teach. Verse 21, he says there that he preached the gospel to that city and made disciples, and they returned to Lystra and Iconium and what is that other place? Antioch. And they taught them. But we are to be baptized, and the next thing that we need to do is teach. Jesus said in Matthew, we were just there, 28:20, he says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded them. And you must be thinking, oh my gosh, look how thick this book is. All that? No. Jesus says, you know what? Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You do that, love your neighbor as yourself, then you're doing fine. Isn't that great? And if you're like me, man, I'll look up and I'll say, Lord, I don't love you enough. And he'll say, yeah, I know that, but you know, you're coming along. Just stay in the word. How do we love him more? How do we be taught? Jesus said, teach them all things. Well, when we go through the biblical account, when we go through the gospels, do you know him? Let me ask you, what does Jesus do when he comes up in front of a woman who's a prostitute? What does he do? What would you do? What would you do if you represented God and everybody knew it and a prostitute was laid in front of you, drugged before you and thrown down, and all these religious kingpins are standing around saying, what do you say about this one, Jesus? What would you do? If you know Jesus, you'd look into her eyes and you'd sense her shame and you'd forgive her. If you don't know Jesus, you would say, he'd pick up a hammer and smash her on the head. Throw her into the ditch. No. That's the way religion deals with things. Jesus Christ has compassion and mercy. We need to be taught of his nature. He commands us that we are to love one another. That's the great decree that he's given us. So he says to them, or so it is there in Matthew 28, that we're to teach them whatsoever I've commanded them. That's a beautiful thing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called The Gospel Minister, a look at the last 8 verses of the book of Acts chapter 14, where Paul and Barnabas continue to spread the word about the risen Messiah. We'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio with Part 2. As we close out today's program, remember to visit SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You'll find out more about the conference hosted here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills this coming January. We're sure you'll be fascinated with the number and caliber of the speakers at this event. As we approach the start of the new year, seats will likely fill up quickly for this ticketed event. It is ticketed, but it's only $25 for the entire weekend. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.